Well, Daffy Democrats are trying to force Nancy Pelosi back into majority leader of the House. It's amazing how ignorant these people are. Pelosi is consumed with hate and despised by people who honor this country. It is always amazing to me to watch Democrats who see with their own eyes the obstructionism and negativity of this far-left party and still vote for it. Since 1965, Democrats have fooled black Americans into believing that they are the party to make life easier for blacks. In truth, they've made it much worse. With free government giveaways, from food stamps to free cell phones to subsidized housing, medical care, and cash payments, Democrats robbed the black community of any incentive to better themselves. As a result, far too many black communities are devastated. Still, self-appointed black leaders like Sharpton, Farrakhan, and Jackson, along with pastors in many black churches, continue to herd black voters like sheep to support Democrats at the polls. That's how these black charlatans make their money. The fake news mainstream media also has a hand in the misery being doled out in black communities. They are all too willing to highlight the death of a single black man at the hands of a white policeman, something that allows black agitators to rally people into the streets to protest. But they do not show the same outrage over black-on-black killings. On the weekend of August 3 and 4 in Chicago alone, from Friday night to Sunday night, 74 black people were shot and 12 died as a result, all within 48 hours. That's one average of more than 1.5 people shot every hour. Where was the outrage in the black community? Where was the wall-to-wall coverage of this atrocity from the fake news media? If black lives matter, I think they do. I think all lives matter. Are 74 lives in one weekend not greater than one solitary life? Any loss of life or shooting victim is deplorable. But when agitators and George Soros-paid protesters take to the streets to loot and burn, using the excuse of a mistake by a white police person in the death of one black man, many times an armed man, and almost always someone with a criminal record, and yet they sit on their hands while 74 black people are shot in one American city over the span of 48 hours. It calls into question whether their fake outrage can continue to be accepted. At least, finally, some in Chicago are seeking to oust the detestable Democrat Rahm Emanuel as mayor. It is far too little and too late. This movement probably won't get far because the black elites in Chicago, who live in secure, gated communities themselves, have provided support for corrupt Democrats in Chicago government for decades. The who's who among Democrats in Chicago reads like a mafia reunion. Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, and Barack Hussein Obama, among others. They got rich on the backs of poor black Americans in Chicago. Rahm Emanuel is a Clinton clone who has contributed far more to the looting and destruction of Chicago than Emperor Nero's fiddling while Rome burned. You are safer in Afghanistan than in Chicago if you are a black man. But focusing on that fact doesn't help rile up the ignorant protesters. So the black community continues to be oppressed by the people of their own color and the dishonest members of the Democratic Party and fake news media. Now, I'll get to my main commentary in a few moments, but there are some facts you need to know and which you will not hear from the fake news mainstream media. You should have heard by now that President Trump donates his entire yearly salary to charity. Did you also know that the total White House annual salaries under President Trump are $35.8 million, while salaries under Obama were $60.9 million, a savings of $25.1 million a year. There are 140 fewer employees on the White House staff under Trump than Obama. Melania Trump is our first lady, and she has five staffers serving her versus 44 staffers who Michelle Obama used. Do you hear any of this kind of news from the fake news media? That's by design, not by accident. These dishonest news purveyors are predominantly Democrats with a vested interest in helping their party regain power. I repeat, I am not a registered Republican or Democrat. I am an independent. My concern is the health of our country and not a political party. In fact, I believe that most of the problems confronting America are because of politics. I hope you'll join me each week, and I promise you that I will never intentionally lie to you or mislead you in any way. And if you indulge me today, I'd like to share with you my thoughts on a variety of subjects. Each of you are free to agree with me or disagree. That's what makes this country the greatest, freest country in the world. If you're 60 or older, most of you will have experienced life as I experienced it growing up. Young people today cannot possibly understand us. They have no context of life beyond that provided by somebody else, parents, or the state. As a young boy, it was necessary for me to grow up quickly. I learned to cook. I learned to sew by the age of 8. As kids, we learned to hunt and fish, not just for fun, but to put food on the table. From the age of 10, I had control of my granddaddy's 16-gauge shotgun for that purpose, hunting. I was taught to use firearms safely and have done so over the next 65 years. We never got an allowance because the money was not available. If we wanted something, we had to work for it. At the age of 18, I was totally on my own. There was no safety net. My parents couldn't afford it, and it never occurred to me that some other taxpayer owed me a safety net. Our young people today, with rare exceptions, don't have the same respect for their parents or elders as did my generation. It is not demanded of them, and so they grow up believing that they have all the answers and their elders should be seen but not heard. By college age, they have been indoctrinated by liberal teachers and professors who can't do themselves, but who can teach. They are exposed to socialism by these aging hippie professors and come to believe that socialism makes us all equal. It never occurs to them that they don't want to be equal themselves. They are in college because they want to get enough education to help them excel in a profession that will pay them a greater salary. Under socialism, the state would own that business, and all would be paid equally, those who work hard and those who hardly work at all. My generation could never imagine socialism controlling America. It was easy to dismiss the idea because it was so ludicrous. And yet, today we have socialists in elective office, openly bold socialists running for office, not as Republicans, but as Democrats. And a far-left socialist named Bernie Sanders actually got millions of votes in the 2016 election. With the fake news media willingly presenting biased news, there is no real counter-effort to the false teaching of socialists, and so our naive teens, fall for the propaganda. We now have a 28-year-old, self-avowed socialist named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez winning the Democrat primary in New York. Her constituency is composed of like-minded people, and so she may well beat her Republican opponent in the general election in November, although everybody she endorsed this past week lost. Ms. Cortez is a follower of the elderly socialist Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Both of them have put forth an idea to cover all Americans under Medicare. That would undoubtedly soon encompass illegal immigrants as well. Official estimates of the cost to do that is $3 trillion a year, and that would take up 90% of all tax revenues. Your taxes would have to more than double just to start such a program. And once these ideas get approved, the cost always escalates. Once Democrats are able to get that coverage for illegal immigrants, the cost would balloon again. This idea is not a cruel joke. These socialists are serious. The head of the Democrat National Committee has said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the new face of the Democrat Party. Her personal appearances point how off the wall Ms. Cortez is. She acknowledged that there was a $3 trillion a year cost for this Medicare for All. The cost was real, but then she said that it's just a matter of zeros, and zeros don't mean anything. Try telling that to the cashier at the grocery store when you want to pay $30 for a bill of $370. When good people stop paying attention, bad ideas take root. We are some $22 trillion in debt today, and that debt is growing rapidly. There is no way that we can sustain that debt, and there will come a day when our financial ignorance must be reckoned with. Those of my generation may escape that day, or we may not, but our children and our grandchildren will certainly face it. Given what I said earlier about my own life experience, I question the idea of white privilege. How did the color of my skin give me some mythical privilege? My family lived hand-to-mouth. Affording college was completely beyond my means. That led me to volunteer for the Navy because I could see no other avenue. After the Navy, I got into broadcasting completely by chance, some say. I believe that God headed me in that direction, not because I had a particular skin color. As I lived from paycheck to paycheck, working hard to carve out a place for myself on radio, I watched naive whites and self-serving blacks who were privileged to be in college march on their campus with demands and claims of white privilege. Here I was, living in a rented room, working for minimum wage with no one to count on but myself, and they are getting a college education, many because of affirmative action, and complaining all the way. I have never had anybody give me a special break because my skin was white. Have you? We are told that racism is built in to American culture. That may have been 100 years ago, but those scales have been balanced by government programs that escalated with Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty. Those programs never go away. Now that's what I call privilege. Next, my thoughts on the constant liberal complaints of income inequality. These complaints are sparked by rich liberals like Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. Democrats, all. And millionaires, all. How can they sit counting their millions and call for income equality? Incomes in a free society are unequal. That should come as no surprise to anybody. Some people are more educated than others. Some are gifted with better common sense than others. Some are more skilled than others and willing to work harder than others. Successful entrepreneurs take incredible risks that others are not willing to take. Why should those people have to dumb down in order for everyone to be equal earners? We should be insisting that those suffering from income inequality bring themselves up, not expect to be given equality. Some of us who have been on the bottom rung of the income ladder understand that it was hard work, self-education, and determination that helped us climb towards the top, not social programs. It is not easy to get up those steps. It takes time, and there are many obstacles in the way. Not everyone can become a millionaire. Most people are content to reach a certain level of comfort and hold steady. Many simply make bad choices in life, again and again, and then complain about income inequality. If you run faster and I coast along, I have no right to expect income equality with you. It's a hoot to listen to wealthy Democrats demand income equality for the masses when they do nothing with their own money to help bring that along. As long as they can use other people's money for their hypocritical causes, they're content to spout off like a runaway fountain. Now, I've spent many hours in research into Islam and immigration. I'll have commentaries on both in coming weeks, but today I'll explain to you and explore why liberals keep giving radical Islam a pass. But first, we live in the most naive country in the world. It was not always that way. Our ancestors gave us a great country with a constitution that would stand the test of the ages, and we had immigrants coming to this country with skills and determination. These were immigrants who came here legally. None of our ancestors could have envisioned a time when liberals and Democrats would call for open borders, a time when ignorant protesters are demanding rights for illegal immigrants who intentionally broke our laws. Legal immigrants have every right to be angry about the continued flow of illegal immigrants trying to jump the line and to be furious with far-left dunces who support them. The legal immigrants who helped build this country did not come here for government benefits. There were none. No food stamps, no welfare checks, no subsidized housing for them. These people went right to work and made sure that their children learned to speak English as quickly as possible. They did not march or protest against our country and wave foreign flags in our face. You can't be the brightest soul and tell us you're fleeing your country because you were in danger there, and then continue speaking the language of your home country and waving their flag here. Liberal political activists are calling for our border security to be curtailed by taking ICE agents off the border. Many of these protesters are professionals who are being paid by white socialist billionaires in our country. Others are naive liberal snowflakes who wouldn't know real life if it was stamped on their forehead. ICE and our border agents are simply following the law set by the Democrats in Congress on illegal immigration. Congress could end all of this in an hour, if not for resistance from the Democratic left and the very people who put this law in place in the first place. If an American citizen is jailed for a crime, they get separated from any children they might have. That's a fact. Why should illegal, non-citizens be treated better than legal citizens? This hysteria from the left is all a power play. The fact is that children were separated from their illegal immigrant parents while Barack Hussein Obama was president. That was and has remained the law. Those children were separated and confined in what Democrats are now calling cages. They didn't call them cages when Obama was president and using that same steel enclosure. There were not as many of these children because now the word is out that American liberals will protect your illegal entry and that if you bring children with you, your chances of getting into America are greater. That's why we're seeing so many children show up now. Many of them are not the offspring of the adult who claims them. Many were separated from their parents by the parents' choice and sent off to try and get over the border. Once here, liberal elements of society protect them and call for the parents to be brought here so they aren't separated from the children. They are already separated to come here. How ignorant is it to not object to illegal entry by immigrants? This country is under attack from several directions, and these attacks are all part of the warning of decades ago that America would destroy itself from within. If you are frustrated and wonder what we as individuals can do to save the country, hold on. It's simple and easy. Vote. We have an off-year election coming in November, and they are normally ignored by voters. Make sure you vote and recruit others to vote as well. Offer rides to the polls. Liberal Democrats want to regain control of Congress so they can take away your tax cut, open up the borders, appoint far-left judges to the Supreme Court, and take the country further to the left. We must not let them do that. If you have been a Democrat, consider whether you want to save your country or support socialist Democrats in Washington. I cannot stress enough the danger of allowing a far-left political party to regain control of this country. Less than 2 years ago, the president was a far-left liberal Democrat named Barack Hussein Obama. And many of the problems we have today with immigration are a result of his inept, lax policies. If you hate yourself, hate Donald Trump, rather, ask yourself, why? Why do you hate Trump so vehemently? It's because the Democrats, who lost the election, and their fake news friends have told you to hate him. The moment Hillary was defeated, the left went into panic mode. They immediately concocted the asinine story of a conspiracy between Russia and the Trump campaign. After more than a year of investigation, at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars, there still has been no evidence of such collusion. Now, there is a lot of evidence of collusion between the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, but they're not even being explored. Next, the liberal Democrats and their fake news allies set out to oppose everything Trump proposes, even though what Trump has proposed was approved by the American people. What this country needs are results. And Trump is delivering on his promises. A prime example of the hypocrisy of the Democrats and their leftist leadership is the attack on the Trump trade policy. It is a known fact that foreign countries have been ripping off America in trade for decades due to bad trade deals signed by past presidents. Trump has served notice that this trade imbalance has to stop. And he has imposed some tariffs on countries like China, Canada, England, and France to bring them to the negotiating table. Each of these countries struck back and cried like a baby with colic. So what did Democrats do? They began a media campaign to force President Trump to capitulate to these people. It should be no secret that these countries with the large imbalance in their favor would scream and squirm when they are called to account. They will eventually come to the bargaining table, but not if liberals and Democrats can mislead the American people into thinking that the president should quietly allow the trade deficits to continue. Let the president's strategy go forward. We elected Donald Trump because of his record in business as a great deal maker. Let's get the Democrats off of his back and let him redo these bad trade deals of past administrations. Power is more important to elected Democrats than the security and financial health of our country. And toss in some of these rhinos, Republicans in name only, like John McCain. When Hillary Clinton lost, their world collapsed. They thought she was a shoo-in, and that the corruption of the Obama administration, the FBI, the Justice Department, the IRS, and other federal agencies' wrongdoing would forever be covered up by Clinton. Now, they don't know whether to go to the bathroom or go blind. What they decided to do was to mount a constant attack against Trump. No human being, I've said this before, no human being is wrong 100% of the time. But you tell me, what time has the media given to Trump that wasn't wrong? If Trump succeeds, they fail to regain power. Do you want the president's policies to succeed or the Democrats to regain power and return to the corruption they are famous for? That should be an easy decision for all of us if you love your country. Yes, Donald Trump can be crude and pompous, but the presidency can't be a popularity contest. Barack Hussein Obama told you what you wanted to hear, and his lies are now evident. The proof will be, in the end, the result of Donald Trump's policies. We must demand that the Democrats get off of his back and let him do his job. There will be plenty of time to gripe and complain in 2020 when all of the results are in. My friends, I've told you this before. We are at a crossroads in our country. Indeed, we may have already crossed over that crossroads. It is a shame what we're doing to our country, and all because of politics. I don't care if you're Republican, I don't care if you're a Democrat. Politics in this country has gone in the wrong direction. Democrats and politics, I make no distinction between the two of them. Obviously, you've heard me speak. I believe that Democrats are dangerous to this country if they follow people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Maxine Waters, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. They are dangerous. But we have people on the Republican side who were elected to help Donald Trump with the agenda that Americans elected him to put in place. These people haven't done that. They have, in fact, worked hard against the president and against those who voted for Trump. You may not have voted for Donald Trump, but I ask you to do this. Please, look at what the man is accomplishing. More in less than 2 years than the previous presidents before him have accomplished. Much more than Barack Hussein Obama accomplished in 8 years. And he has outshone George W. Bush as well. I hope you will vote in these November off elections. Many people will stay home, figuring that their vote doesn't count. But your vote doesn't count only if you don't cast it. And we should be ever vigilant against those who are voting in multiple states, the fraudulent vote, illegals who are voting. Democrats will tell you that there is no voter fraud. That's a lie, and they know it's a lie. But I take you back to this. Let's assume for a moment that there is only one fraudulent vote cast in 2020. That fraudulent vote could very easily cancel out your vote with just one fraudulent vote. So I urge you to vote in November. Get others to the polls in November. Be sure your family votes in November. Do it honestly, but vote. The future lies in your hands.